So today my sermon title is called, Why Search for Those Who Are Not Here? If you have your Bibles, if you want to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 32. I'd like to go ahead and read that in its entirety. And after being in Israel, I was actually in Israel in January, and I always wondered, after being there, why was Jesus so unpopular? And where he was crucified was about 60 miles from Galilee, where he did live most of his life and did most of his ministry. And 60 miles over in Israel is it's a long way off, you know, when you can only walk. And one reason Jesus was unpopular is because a passage like this made him unpopular. The parable of the lost sheep. He's basically going to share three parables with us here in this chapter that all go together. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The parable of the lost coin. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And the parable of the prodigal son. And he said to them, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still here a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what things these things meant. And he said to them, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he, that being the brother, was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property and prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" So if you'll pray with me. Father, I just pray that these parables speak to us this morning. I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the saints gathered here at East Madison, for the guests that are here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the concern that they have for lost people here in this area surrounding their church and the people that are close to them. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just use this passage to impact our lives, impact our walk, and impact the lives of the people around us. And just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you that might not have gotten a full recap of things, I just want to share with you a little bit about some of those slides that took place. And so with that in mind, we just take a look at our first slide. This is some training that took place on a Saturday afternoon. We met at 4 o'clock downstairs. I think many of you were down there. If you weren't, this is sort of a little recap of what took place. So the guys behind me, behind the pole, that's Keith Dixon. He heads up that group from North Carolina, the Greater Cleveland County Baptist Association. He actually texted me this morning sending his greetings to you and saying that he's praying for you and that their whole group is praying for you. And as that goes, it will spread throughout their association, and they'll have all 90 of their churches praying for you. And that's Jerry Welch. Jerry's actually the president of the Clowning Association nationwide, has been in the past. Real talented guy, gifted guy. He's been a pastor for 40 years. To give you an idea of Jerry's dedication, he had a heart attack 1 month ago before he came here. So they actually flew him up to be part of this. Everybody else had to drive the bus. So here's sort of some things that took place. You guys were there intently asking questions, and some of this came at your request. So what do we say to people? You know, when you meet a stranger, what do you actually say to them? You know, when, hey, you just try to find about them. You just try to find about their family, their interests, what's going on in their life, what's their deal? And that's what we talked about. And then the block party started getting set up, and you guys know what happened. The rain came. And with the rain, guess what else came? People started surrounding your church, and they prayed over you and the community. Everybody started praying for you. To me, these are some powerful images, aren't they? Knowing that these folks are behind you. And you see there they are gathering around. And then this is when we regrouped the troops. We said we'll meet on Sunday night. And then we had our block party on Sunday night. There's worship on Sunday morning. Pete leading us again, saying goodbye to Tim and Lori there. And our next slide shows some of the block party pictures. This is us going out. So this is part of our all-out search that takes place that we're actually going to talk about in our passage a little bit. At this point, it was 4 o'clock. How many people did we have committed? This is going to be a little interactive sermon today. How many people did we have committed to come to that block party, for those of you that were there with me? Like zero? Okay, we're up to zero at this point. It's about 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. All right, so Jesus said, have this all-out search. So what did we do? We loaded everybody up with about 1,000 flyers, and we said, we're going to take both sides of Milwaukee Street. And other passages say, go out into the highways and the hedges and go down the lanes. And then the people came. And there you see people that came. Probably many of these people never heard a clear gospel presentation before, maybe never even been on your church property before. Would you agree with that? So good things took place. And there we have all the popcorn and snow cone machines going. We call it tearing down walls and building bridges to form relationships. And that's taking place. In our next picture here, I got a Jose, I believe, is sharing the gospel here, if I'm not mistaken. Next slide. This is Jose, their Hispanic pastor. And this guy and his family live just right across this. Their house is actually right across the street from you. And you guys have all their info now and all that as you follow up with them. And then your kids came to VBS, and you had about 15 or so come to Vacation Bible School. So all that took place this week, so knowing that God is at work in some powerful ways. And so if we could go to the next slide here. This is the Luke chapter 15 that I'm talking about. There's three themes here. Something is lost that's of great value. Can I just ask you to imagine in your mind, what's the last valuable thing that you lost? All right, I'm just going to work with my son here in the front row. Kenny Millman is here today. Kenny, what's the last thing that you or I lost? Have we ever lost our car keys? Have you ever lost your car keys? Do you have the mother of all manhunts till those keys are found? Or do you say, no, we're just going to walk out the door today. It's all cool. We'll just walk down to wherever we're going. Is that what you do? No. What else have you lost? Has anybody ever lost homework? Has that ever happened? Never. Does everybody lose homework? No. What else might you have lost? A billfold. Diamonds. Lost rings. I will tell on myself. I was with one of our pastors. We were flying back from Texas. We landed in Newark, New Jersey. We actually were derailed. We were not supposed to go that way. And you ever just get all relaxed in a plane and you're just sort of out of it when you get off? You know, like we were coming back to Madison, but we flew all the way to Newark, New Jersey, basically New York City. And I got off the plane and I just left a few things, Pat. I left my wallet and I left my iPad. Other than that, I remembered everything else. But the trick is, I only could remember one thing at a time. I remember I left my iPad. And do you ever go beg somebody to do something? Those airline guys? Oh boy, it's just really easy getting into New York City Airport once it's closed off, isn't it? Yeah. Oh yeah, come on down, sir. No, they made me wait, and I waited and waited and waited, and you know, like I'm just really nervous. And then they go get the iPad, and it's there. You know, I said, here's my seat number. Here it is. And then I'm walking away, and the group that's with me, and I'm in charge of this little group that's with me. And of course, then I remember, oh, I forgot my wallet. And then we did the same thing over again. But did I stop? Did I say, oh man, just leave it. They'll mail it to me. They'll find it. No. And you guys have been through those searches, haven't you? You've looked for wallets and diamonds and other items maybe you don't want to mention in church, and car keys. And this all-out search takes place, and then when you find it, a celebration takes place. And we look in the all three parables, this celebration takes place. That people are going like this. Now, you know, I just want to let you know, like they say when you guys are going through pastor transition, so when a pastor leaves, usually three things happen. They're sad, mad, or glad. So when I left the church, you know, usually it was like Fat Albert and the gang. Everybody's in the back going, yeah, he's gone. Okay, so some people are glad to get rid of people. But no, celebration happens when lost items are found. And so with that in mind, we take a look at these parables. And I just want to share with you that God is really on the search. If you want to be accused of being in God's will, be on the search for sinners. So this is nowhere in the PowerPoint. This is nowhere in your notes. I really encourage you to write down this phrase today. That our mission is to bring people who are close to us but far from God to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So our mission as individuals and as the church, the corporate church, East Madison Baptist, and the Big C Church, the Universal Church worldwide, is to bring people who are close to us but are far from God to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So the whole parable takes off from these first two verses. I'm just going to read these again. In verses 1 and 2, this sets the stage for these three parables being told. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You know, bad. No, good. And then he tells these to counter the thinking of the Pharisees. You know, I really do love the agrarian language, but you know, not many of us own sheep anymore, do we? We have to tell new parables. You know, we have to talk about car keys and iPads and wallets and diamond rings and things that are of value to us. But that shepherd goes after it till he finds it. And then take note, when he gets back, does he just have a celebration in his own house? Nope. There he says in verse 6, he calls together his friends and neighbors. So something intentional is happening. He's saying, let's cheer this on, you know. We found that sheep that was lost. And by the way, we still got the other 99 that are here. So we found one lost person, one lost sheep. Look at that. A celebration takes place. The woman with the 10 coins loses one. You know, a lot of people these days might just say, oh, if that gold coin's worth $10,000, oh, just let it be, right? No, they would go on an all-out search today, wouldn't they? You betcha. And look at the utensils that she uses. She uses the light and the broom. Whatever you want to talk about, what it is that she uses. It says, she swept the house and sought diligently until she found it. And then she has the celebration as well. So I want to ask you, as we're doing some application today, and we're going to do some of this a little later, but what are some of the utensils the church has to do an all-out search. You know, I believe every one of us have a network of friends. You know, and like last Sunday night, we just had a little search around the neighborhood. But if we started getting a real intensive, extensive search of the network of East Madison Baptist Church, how long would it take to name all your coworkers, all your classmates? How long would it take to name all your, for those of you who are on it, Facebook friends? How long would it take for you to name people that you know who are without God, just living in this community? Would it take a while? You betcha. It would take a long time. And that's where we just want to talk about this as we go on. The son, and the prodigal son, the son turns away from the father. He lives this wild life. He goes nuts. He spends his little fortune that the father gave him, and he comes home with repentance. Probably one of my famous, most loved verses in the Bible is that verse 17. But when he came to himself, other translations are, when he came to his senses. And so if anybody here today is without Christ, I really encourage you to come to your senses today, to realize that you can't make it alone. You can't get into heaven because God said all of our works are like filthy rags. It's only through the grace of Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross for us, that's the only way that we can get into heaven. Amen, church? And that is where this repentance takes place. We turn 180 degrees around and God enters our life and our hearts and our minds when we confess our faith in him. And that's what happened in verse 17 to this prodigal son. He came to his senses. He came to have that faith in Christ. And check it out. The celebration is held in his honor. You know, and this is the theme for the lost people of Luke, the theme of Luke. And I just want to have us do this. For those of you that have heard me speak before, you know that my greatest fear is neither public speaking nor death, but people falling asleep while I'm talking. So if you'll work with me, just to make sure you're awake, if you could read this with me, let's read this all at once together. Luke chapter 5, verse 30 to 32. And the Pharisees
and the scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Any medical people in the house today? We have one nurse I know of that's here. But when you go to the hospital, when you go to a clinic, an emergency room, are there a lot of well people there? Nope. There's sick people. We've got people with all kinds of issues, right? People that have been in accidents, serious accidents. We've got people that are dealing with life-threatening diseases, life-threatening surgeries. Same thing with Jesus. He came for a reason. He came for a purpose. He came to call those that are sick, not those that are well, to repentance. Luke chapter 5, verse 30 to 32. You know, we are in Luke chapter 15 today, but it also goes on in Luke chapter 19. We had other complaints about Jesus as we look at this theme in Luke. And this little passage took place after a guy named Zacchaeus, who was not such a nice guy at the time, comes to profess faith in Christ. Zacchaeus, for those who don't know, was a tax collector. And Zacchaeus repented and said, "Jesus, I want to place my faith and trust in you, and I repent. I want to give people four times what I stole from them." And then this is what they said about Jesus after he sees this miracle take place in Zacchaeus' life. He sees this great thing take place, and this is what they say about him. And this is what Jesus responds. He says, if you could read this with me, "For the Son of
Man."
So do you guys see the theme that we're picking up on in Luke? Is it consistent? Is it clear? So in preaching workshops, I know Jason has been in preaching workshops with me. We can find a lot out about a passage by reading that entire book. So in Luke chapter 15, we see that theme, don't we? Those parables saying the same thing. Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 19. That theme is there. Now, when I think about what lessons do we take away from this, this is probably the number one lesson here, is that lost people matter to God. You know, this is one of the great arguments of the church today. Who's the church for? Is it for believers or unbelievers? Yes. Yes, that's the answer to that question. It's for both. But you can't just say it's for believers, because Jesus has got all these passages. This is biblical, right? It's for both. That Jesus said lost people matter to him, and that God is searching for people. He's going on this all-out search for people who are without him in their lives. And then he's also telling us to make a diligent search. We're not bothering with Luke chapter 10 today, but Luke chapter 10, he sends out the 70. And they go out. And they go preach in homes. And they make this search, if you will. But they go find people that are without Jesus. A special lesson from the prodigal son. God wants us to value lost people and not look down on them as the Pharisees did. So one of the great authors of our day in Southern Baptist life, there's a guy named Reggie McNeil. He's actually written many books. And Reggie talks about how persecution in North America today does not come from the outside in the church. Most pastors are not being persecuted from the outside. But they are being persecuted from the inside. You know, like I worked for 12 years on church staff, never in Madison, by the way, in Madison, New Jersey, and in churches in Florida. Guess who complained about me the most? Was it people on the outside of the church or the inside of the church? You go ahead and answer it. The inside. Just ask my wife. And my wife would say, well, for good reason, they did a lot of that complaining. But the idea is like when we reach out to the lost people around us, there's always some opposition in the church. Are you with me? I attended 2 African-American churches back in the fall on the same day. And I'm saying that all the time now. Are you with me? And they would say, amen. Amen. That the Father wants us to celebrate with him. And one of my great learnings in seminary, I don't often bring up seminary stories, but one of my seminary stories as a New Testament professor, Dr. Harold Songer, was an expert in parables. And he said, the ending of the parable is what grabs the emphasis. I learned that at Southern Seminary, where I know Ben attended, so it has to be true. But the ending of the parable is where the emphasis is. So you see, the emphasis is in the celebration, the first two. And how does the last one end? Does it end with a celebration? Nope, it ends with this guy complaining, right? The older brother, who now does, by the way, have the family fortune all to himself, right? But he's the guy complaining. Verse 7, 10, and 32, they all talk about this celebrating and how important it is to celebrate. It really is. This Pharisees were Jesus' opposition. Opposition often comes from the inside. Obviously, it comes from the outside as well. But these parables, talking about the opposition, come from there. And then the son who did not stray was the father's opposition and the prodigal son. You know, and this is where I just want us to think about this, to always pray about this, that I always think, I look back on life and say, that person's my enemy. You know, like I was in church, they're my enemy. You know what I mean? Like I could pick out names. But you know what? That's not the enemy. Do you know who the enemy is? It's Satan and his demons. That's the real enemy. And I think about what God's calling us out to do is who is your opposition? And sometimes it's our own personal insecurities. Just reaching out to people that come into church and finding out about them, asking them to lunch. Oh, by the way, Kenny is with his friend Ashley today. Feel free to ask them out to lunch. Ashley's first time in a Southern Baptist church, so you can ask her out to lunch. Sorry to embarrass you, Ashley. But here's the good news, and that's what we're here to proclaim, right? The good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has defeated the opposition. And by that I mean not people, but he's defeated Satan and his demons and his power. Now, to clear this up, this is another little cliche that I've really learned to be the truth, though. So, salvation past is this, if you want to write this down. Salvation past is defeating the penalty of sin. That's what Jesus has done. Salvation present is defeating the power of sin. Salvation future is defeating the presence of sin. So, in other words, we're still living with sin present in our lives. I'm swimming in it every day. I have all kinds of sin in my life. I'm trying to work on it. Ask Kenny. He can tell you. Our goal, though, is to allow Jesus to find you. And then you can join Jesus as he searches the lost for the people all around you. Now, you know, I just want to go back to that story where I started today. Is that this mother named Monica had this son, and this son just was getting sick of Monica. Could you imagine that, Kenny? Mom following you all around? It'd kind of wear you down, wouldn't it? Kenny, a couple years ago, you went to New Orleans, and he actually worked in the inner city at the Southern Baptist Convention. He did all kinds of stuff in the inner city, and he accused this one lady of being a stalker, the lady that headed it up. She's our good friend. So he knows what I'm talking about. But Monica stayed after her son, and her son finally had this verse come to him. It's actually in Romans 13. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And Monica's son, his name was Augustine. And Augustine lived from 354 to 430. And Augustine came to Christ around the age of 30. And because of Monica praying for him, tracking him down, not stopping, relentlessly following and praying and interceding on behalf of her son, Augustine comes to know Christ. And so what they say in Christianity, what they say with Christ followers is the harder you fall, the taller you rise. So you see, a lot of the people that have been in great sin in their life have then gone on to be recipients of God's grace in amazing ways, and you know they've done great things. And that was Augustine. And Augustine went on to write some of the classics of Christian literature, like the Confessions, the City of God, a lot of other works. And he is known as one of the greatest Christian theologians in the history of Christianity, and people that we rely on to this day. And it's because of people like Monica, who you never heard about, relentlessly pursuing, searching for him, and God using Monica to redeem Augustine's life. So I just want to encourage you today, as East Madison Baptist, to be relentlessly pursuing. Because do you think Monica gave up when she first started pursuing Augustine? Nope. I could give you story after story of people that have been prayed for you for years and years and years. Go to George Mueller, the man who founded the orphanages in England. One orphanage after another was founded. He started praying for people when he was in his early 20s, and he prayed for people for over 40 years, and there's evidence that people came to Christ after he died, people that he had been praying for. So with that in mind, just want to encourage you, in God's power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to be on the search for those who are close to you but are far from God, so that they may become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And for those of you that are without Christ today, just want to say we're going to have an invitation hymn here where you can accept Christ. You can have him into your life. So at this time, I'm just going to ask if everybody would stand then, and we're going to sing one last song here. At this time, if God is working in your life, if you want to know that, do something, if you want to take action on the Word of God, I encourage you to do that this time. But if you'll pray with me now. Father, I just thank you for the saints gathered here at East Madison, Lord. I just thank you for what they've done the last couple weeks, Lord, just searching people out in this community and their friends, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you would just bless them. I just pray you just send them just riches untold, Lord, as people come into this church. Lord, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit being at work in our own lives. And Lord, we just ask right now, you would just have more room to move in our life because of what we've talked about here, Lord, because of the Word of God has been spoken and declared, Lord, and that we've just taken a closer look at it. Lord, we just ask you would just help us apply it in our own lives. Lord, for those that are without Christ today, for those that need to join this church, Lord, I just pray you'd move in their life this morning. I just pray that, Lord, you would just convict them of their sin. Bring that repentance that was talked about in these passages. And God, I just ask you to be at work now during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I tell you, we are going to pray for the food also right now as we go to potluck dinner. And just to let you know, Ashley, you're invited to potluck dinner right there. I want to invite you. So, Father, I just thank you for what's happened here today. Lord, I just thank you for this church. Lord, I just pray you just encourage their hearts and minds, Lord, as they make key decisions, Lord, in their business meeting today. And, Lord, as they just go about their business here and as they go home today, Lord, I pray, Lord, you would just use them as lights in the darkness, Lord, as salt here in the earth, Lord, to make a difference. And I just thank you for our time together. And Lord, as the song was sung today, may you be mighty to save in our lives, and may people see that. And just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.